this Sister Janet is making. I pray that God will continue to not only be with her, but the family. As we see, our God is faithful to his promises, but at the same time, he expects for us to do something as well. Amen. So let's pray and ask God's blessing on our time together, shall we? First order of business today is your homework. Your homework. What was our homework? What was the homework? Saved. I can hear you. Is here. What scripture tells us about here, the word of God? Romans says, what does Romans 10:17 say? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Very good. What's the second step?
Believe.
Yes. What scripture?
Hebrews
11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarded them that diligently seeking. They're singing that up front here. What's another scripture for believe?
John 3:16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Very good. And also Acts 16:31, John 2. What's the third step?
Repent.
What's the scripture for repentance?
Luke 13:3-5
says what? I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Yes? We also have Acts 2:38. They were pricked to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles,
what shall we do?
For your belief in it, you put John 2:31. It's incorrect. John 2:26.
So
25, sorry, John 2.
Okay. So you got a girl star for pointing it out.
Yes.
Can was born that too.
People, I like that.
But can also know from sheep.
What should it be? Chapter 20. I hope we all do this. Alright, John 20:30-31. Yes? And then Acts 2:38. Very important passage. Acts 17:30-31. What's the next step? Step number four? Confess. What's the scripture for confess? And which says what? Him will I also. And he that. Father which is in heaven. Yes, and there are other passages there for confession. Romans 10:9-10. With the heart one believes to righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And what's the fourth step? Be baptized. Yes, and what's the scripture for baptism? It's a lot of those. What's that? Okay. Why tarriest thou? The King James Version. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. What's another scripture for baptism? Mark 16:15-16. Yes. Acts 2:38 again. You can use that for baptism. And then 1 Peter 3:21. The like faith unto one is baptized. It's not the it's not like taking a bath. Mark 16 and Acts 22:16. And then what must one do? Once we're saved, we ought to do what? Live godly. Yes? Live godly. What's the scripture for that?
Romans 12:1.
What's that? What does that say? Romans 12:1-2. Very good. So we can commit that to memory. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world. Titus 2:11-14. Yes? And we also have, it's not on that list, Revelation 2:10. Revelation, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. So that's another scripture that we can add to that. So if you don't have a copy, yes, anybody else need a copy? You can just hand that out. Keep that in your Bible. Somebody's going to ask you that question. Five things, five scriptures. You can memorize your phone number, your address, you can memorize this. This can save someone's life. Yeah. Amen. So, today, we continue our study on forgiveness. On forgiveness. Yes? Matthew chapter 18. Thank you. Matthew chapter 18. Verses 21-35. The parable of the unforgiving servant. The parable of the unforgiving servant. Can someone tell us, who is forgiveness for? Who is forgiveness for? What's the purpose of forgiveness? Why should I forgive?
Because Christ forgave us.
Oh. So forgiveness is for who?
For us.
For me. For me. Yes. So that's a lesson all of us have to learn. Every last person on the planet has to learn the lesson of forgiveness. It's something we cannot escape. And so this parable, we said, teaches the power of forgiveness. And it's important to note that this parable is not about salvation. For salvation is wholly of grace and is unconditionally given. This is not about salvation. And to make God's forgiveness a temporary thing is to violate the very truth of scripture we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We also read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, said that you're saved by grace. It's not of anything you've done. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. And then also in Titus chapter 3, verses 3-7, talks about that's God's grace towards us. And so this parable deals with forgiveness between brothers. Between brothers. We said every once in a while, just like we were talking about in the previous verses in Matthew 18, we will trespass against one another. Yes, we're gonna trample one another's toes. We're gonna upset people. We're gonna sin against one another. That's inevitable. That's our horizontal relationship. So God has put in place a way to fix that. And so it's not between lost sinners and God. The emphasis in the chapter is on brother. Forgiving brother. Brother to brother. Horizontal. Yeah. And so the main character in this parable went through three stages in this experience of forgiveness. Let's read. Let's turn in the Bible to Matthew chapter 18. Because remember, verse number 21, Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him up to seven times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Verse 24, and when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed 10,000 talents, but he was not able to pay. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that the payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him his debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not. But he threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then the master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will do to each of you from his heart who does not forgive his brother his trespass. It's a simple lesson, but it's not that simple. Not that simple. So the main character in this parable went through three stages in his experience of forgiveness. Number one, stage one, he was a debtor. He was a debtor. This man had been stealing funds from the king. And when the books were audited, his crimes were discovered. Or his crime was discovered. The tax levy in Palestine was about 800 talents a year. So you could see how dishonest this man was. In today's buying power, that was equivalent to about $10 million. That's how much money this man owed this king. Imagine if HMRC sent you a bill for $10 million. How are you paying that? £25 a week?
Every month.
It'll take you a lifetime, your children a lifetime, and their children a lifetime to pay that back. And so, here this man. But this man actually thought he could get out of debt. He told the king that, given enough time, he could pay it back. Was he lying?
Yes.
Yeah, you know how it is when we get caught. When we get caught, you make a lot of promises. Huh? If you forgive me, I'll never do it again. Lord, help me to get out of this mess. And just give me another chance. That's what we say. We start bargaining. Give me some time, and I can pay. How long will it take you to pay back 10 million? And so, we detect two sins. The first is pride and a lack of sincere repentance. Pride and a lack of sincere repentance. That the man was not ashamed because he stole the money. He was ashamed because he got caught. I'm only going to repent because I got caught. I'm only sorry because I got caught. And he actually thought he was big enough to earn the money to repay the king's account. And so in the economy of that day, a man would have to work, guess how long? 20 years to earn that amount of money. And he would have to pay it all back, so he wouldn't be living on anything. So his case was hopeless, except for one thing. What was the one thing? Look at verse number 27. Someone read verse 27.
The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go.
So what translation are you reading?
King James.
Someone else have a different translation other than the King James Version?
Yes.
Yes.
So the servant's soul on his knees, imploring him, have patience with him, and I will pay you everything.
Okay. Verse 27 in the New King James Version says, then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him and said, what is compassion? What is compassion? Pity. What does that mean? What does that mean? Mercy. Compassion. Compassion means your pain in my heart. Your pain in my heart. You ever somebody tell you something that's happened, something really bad, and you get that feeling in your gut, and you say, oh, your pain in my heart. Do we always have compassion for people? Do we always have compassion for people? No, because we don't want to feel what they feel. You owe me, and all I want is what you owe me. I don't care how long it takes for you to pay it back, you're gonna pay me. There's no compassion in there. This man, the king, he was stealing from the man he was stealing from, had compassion on him. So, the king was a man of compassion. He assumed the loss and forgave the servant. This meant that the man was free and he and his family would not be thrown into devil's prison. The servant did not deserve this forgiveness. It was purely an act of love and of mercy on the part of the master. What type of love?
Agape love.
You know what I'm gonna ask you next? What's the next question? What's the next question, George?
Five
things. What does unconditional love look like? First of all, it's a love that what? It volunteers. Number two, no matter how many times, no matter how much it costs you, whether they deserve it or not, whether they ask for it or not, and no matter how many times I have to repeat the exit. Unconditional love. Now, here's a truth. Where was the first time in the Bible that someone had to practice forgiveness? Where was the first time in the Bible that someone had to practice forgiveness? Where? Yeah. What was the situation? In that Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden. That's where forgiveness was practiced. In the arena of marriage. You remember we said marriage is a three-ring circus? A three-ring circus. First there's the engagement ring, then there's the wedding ring, and then there's the what? The suffering. Yeah. Don't think. This is for free, folks. This is for free. You didn't come here for this, but I'm going to give it to you for free. You and I are going to have to suffer in this life. And you and I are going to have to learn how to forgive in this life. And if you don't learn how to forgive, that's where the suffering becomes long suffering. Adam and Eve had to learn how to forgive each other. That was the first family. He said, well, why am I going through this? Well, maybe Lord just trying to teach me something. So he was a debtor. What's a debtor? Somebody that owes something. You have a debit card. Debit card. What's a debit card versus a credit card? You debit the giver and credit the receiver. You go into a store, you owe somebody. You want to buy something you owe, you will debit your account. Because you owe something. So somebody has a debt. All of us have a debt. And we have a debt to one another. Isn't that interesting? And so he was a debtor. Number two, he was also a creditor. The servant left the presence of the king. I mean, you owe $10 million. This man said, I'm going to forgive you. How would you feel? And I'm skipping down the road. I'm just going to be on top of the moon. But somebody owes you something, you know? And we have amnesia. God set you free. He said, you can go. You don't owe anything. And now somebody owes you. The tables have turned. He left the presence of the king and found a fellow servant who owed him how much? 100 pence. How much is 100 pence? 100 pence is how much? Today? 1 pound. And how much did he owe? 10 million. Huh? What did he do? What did he do? He said, pay me my money. Talking about this rope. That's what people, huh? So you owe this much, and he owes that much. Talking about this rope. Now the average worker in those days earned about a penny a day. 1 penny. You worked all day, here's your penny, George. Here's your penny, Paul. Here's your, everybody got a penny. No? You can't buy the iPhone 15. How long is it gonna take you to save up for that iPhone with 1 penny a day? By the time you save up that money, it's the iPhone 150. Yeah. And so this debt was insignificant compared to what the servant had owed the king. Instead of sharing with his friend the joy of his own release, the servant mistreated his friend and demanded that he pay the debt. The debtor used the same approach to his servant. Then he said, what did he say? Have patience with me. He fell down in verse 29. Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Isn't that what he said to the king? Yeah. Said the same thing to the king. And I will pay you all. So, but the unjust servant was unwilling to grant to others what he wanted others to grant to him. Perhaps he had the legal right to throw this man in prison, but he did not have the moral right. He had been forgiven himself. Should he not have forgiven his fellow servant as well? He and his family had been spared the shame and suffering of prison. Should he not have spared his friend too? There are times in our lives where we have to suffer loss. That we have to suffer loss. How many of us in here have had a situation where you knew you were in the right? In a situation, do you demand your right, or do you give it up because you say, well, God forgave me more than this? Or do you even remember that? How dare I demand from you something that God has forgiven me of a greater debt? We have selective memory, don't we? We can remember what people do wrong to us. We can't remember what we do wrong. Some people keep good records. Oh yeah, I'm gonna fix him, I'm gonna fix her. Now, I'm gonna use myself because you're looking like you're interested. Many of you know that I grew up in a very abusive home. Very abusive home. Verbally abusive, physically abusive. My mother, she used to like laying on the pants. Literally. Yeah? And so I am the fifth child, the youngest son. And when I was growing up, very quiet, I didn't say much, but nobody was spared her wrath. And it took me a long time until I became a Christian to learn how to forgive my mother. Yeah, because I realized when I read these types of scriptures, perhaps I'm not looking at her from her perspective. Perhaps she's been traumatized herself. And we live what we learn. Some old behavior is learned behavior. Perhaps she had been abused herself. And I said, oh man, now how is it that I can be getting married to her? And perhaps she needs to forgive somebody too. And Lord, I always need forgiveness so I can learn how to forgive her too. And then now I can look at her differently. I can look at her through the pain that she's in. I have to learn how to heal myself, forgive her, so I can start healing myself. That makes sense? But what happens is we hold on to so much bitterness and pain and anguish instead of giving that over to the Lord. This man, what do I have to do? I had to have compassion on her pain in my heart. You see that? And so now when I see her, I can embrace her genuinely. Because I realize that guess what? What I want for myself, I want for her too. And that's my mom. Sometimes our greatest challenge is the people closest to us. Family. Brother to brother. You see that? Because I want her to be saved too. I don't want to be standing in on judgment day and I'm standing over here and she's standing over there. Because God's going to hold me accountable for this. He's going to hold all of us accountable for what we know. Maybe she doesn't know what I know. The Bible says as much as given, what? Much more will be required. Much more will be required. So this man was a creditor. The table was turned on him. And then what was the third stage? He became a prisoner. The king originally delivered him from prison, but the servant put himself back in. And that's something God forgives us and spares us of judgment, and then we put ourselves right back in the mess. Isn't that interesting? There's not a person in this room that hasn't been wronged by somebody. There's not a person in this room that somebody hasn't upset or trespassed against. That's life. That is the reality of it. Yes? And so the servant exercised justice and put his friend into prison. Yes? So you want to live by justice, asked the king, then you shall have justice. When someone wrongs you, what do you want? You want justice. You want justice. Call the police, call somebody, fix this, and then we're going to sort this out. But what about when we wrong somebody? What do we want?
Forgiveness.
We want forgiveness. We want mercy. Please forgive me. I want you to forgive me. Why don't we want justice? Why don't we want justice when we wrong somebody else? Because we don't see. You have a different standard. The standard goes one way, but it doesn't work the same way coming back to us. That's isn't it interesting about life? And so he threw this wicked man into prison and that he be tormented. There is no suggestion that the entire family was sentenced. After all, it was the father who abused the other servant and ignored the king's comments. And so, guess what? The worst prison is the prison of an unforgiving heart. If we refuse to forgive others, then we are only imprisoning ourselves and causing our own torment. The person that wronged you is going to sleep every night, living their lives, and what are you doing? Pacing the floor, thinking about it all the time, getting upset, getting a stomach ulcer, can't sleep. Maybe I'm the only one. You're trying to figure out, and everyone says, well, what?
Girl, did I tell you what happened with me and George? Well, you told me last week about 3 times. What was wrong with this man? What was wrong with this man? The same thing that is wrong with many professing Christians. They have received forgiveness, but have not really experienced forgiveness deep in their hearts. Compassion. Your pain in my heart. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. When we read scripture, what's the purpose of scripture? To change us. We talk about in Romans 12, 1 and 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the purpose of God's word. But you've got to volunteer. You've got to allow God's word to change your thinking. And when your thinking changes, guess what should change too? Our actions. Yeah? We may say things with our mouth, but our actions will betray us. Yeah? Therefore, they are unable to share forgiveness with those who have wronged them. That was the purpose of the problem in the beginning of Matthew 18, verse 15. If your brother sins against you, you go to him, tell him his fault. If he repents, all is well. You ought to forgive that brother. Yeah? If we live only according to justice, always seeking to get what is ours, what happens? We put ourselves into prison. Justice has to go both ways. See, here in England, most countries have court systems. What's the purpose of the judge? The judge's job is to be impartial. Yeah? Have anybody ever seen the statue of Lady Justice? Lady Justice, the Old Bailey? Anybody ever heard of the Old Bailey in London? There's a statue called Lady Justice, and it's a woman standing in one hand, she's holding a scale. Yeah, the scales of justice. And the interesting thing about this woman is she's also blindfolded. Why is she blindfolded? So she shows no favoritism. But when we are the one that needs our case heard, we're not blindfolded, are we? Because we want for ourselves what we don't want to give to the other person. We want forgiveness, but we don't want to forgive. Because deep down inside, we like that. I've got something more than that. Peter asks for a measuring rod. Peter said, what was the question? Peter asked this question. He asked that question, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? That's an interesting question. He already assumed that his brother was going to sin against him. He didn't say, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother? How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive? Up to 7 times, Lord. Just give me a number. Our Lord's warning is serious. He cannot. He did not say that God saves only those who forgive us. Didn't say that. Remember, we said the theme of this parable is forgiveness between brothers, not salvation for lost sinners. So Jesus warned us that God cannot forgive us if we do not have humble and repentant hearts. Yeah. Any questions or comments? You're awfully quiet. Have I scared you? Yes.
No, I want to be a little bit clear that the man who tried to attack the other one or his debtor, it seems like he I have read a lot of why he choose to do that. I'm saying it's about forgetting or what, because at times somebody can do something good to us and you always forget good things. You see, when good things happen in our life or this thing, you always forget it. But when it is evil or something bad, then you always try remember. You don't used to forget. So I want to be clear that if the mind forget what the king has done for him, that's why he take that kind of decision.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So here's the principle. When I have to make a decision, especially in a situation or circumstance where I have to make a decision about something, especially in the arena of sin, ask yourself this question: have I done that too? Has God forgiven me of an offense before? Before I start to seek justice, you know, your neighbors, you use that illustration, Brother Paul said the neighbor started building that fence and in his yard. On his property. Now, legally, he has the right to tell that man take that fence down. But do you have to always seek justice? When someone trespasses, when someone cuts you off in traffic, how do you react? Come on, we got drivers in here. Road rage.
Yeah.
Huh? Honk your horn and you're. But have you done that before?
Yeah, of course.
Have you done that before? Huh? So we forget, don't we forget?
Yeah.
We forget when we mess up. But we remember when other people mess up against us?
Yeah, that is our problem.
That's our problem. And so that's what I'm saying. So put yourself in the other person's shoes. So they're saying now, because perhaps God has forgiven you a greater debt. It may not be that specific thing. You see? And especially when it comes in the church. We're talking about in the church now. We're not talking about in the world. Because remember, he says brother and brother. We could have more harmony among one another. We could resolve things among one another more quickly if we learn this lesson. Huh? Now, you heard folks saying, forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. Well, you don't have to forget. Yeah. See, now, it's not to make ourselves a doormat. Let me say that because someone's going, well, you know, am I supposed to say, no, you don't put yourself in a position. You have to set some boundaries. But when it comes to some things, this is a straightforward circumstance. God has forgiven me a greater debt. Someone has wronged me for something so little, and we turned it into World War III. And said, I'll never. You better be careful when you start saying never. Because never's a short term. Now, yes.
Yeah, so let's look at a scenario where maybe church. So if it's outside the church, we know that when somebody do wrong, you face the law. But in the church where forgiveness means, for example, the church gives a certain person an assignment to do for the church, and because of his attitude, he created a lot of crisis, and the church had to sit over it. And in the city, he asked for forgiveness, but because it's a gathering of people, there were suggestions that, let's watch him for a while. Yes, you are forgiven, but let's watch him for a while. Is that true forgiveness? That yes, we have accepted you. He wanted to continue the job of the errand the church is sending him. But because of the crisis, the church decided that we will give you some time to watch if you can still do this job.
One scripture, 2 Timothy 2:2. The things
I teach you also.
Yes, the things you learn from me he says, I'm paraphrasing, he says, commit thou to faithful men who are able to teach others also. Okay, so forgiveness is an event. Yes, we forgive you. However, you want to exercise wisdom. So if in this particular case, okay, I'll give you a real life scenario, and I was a minister, you've heard me tell this story before. This was the church. The church where I was a member wanted to pay the church parking lot. So they went to the brother who was in charge of the money and said, do we have enough money to pay this parking lot? Oh, no, there's not enough money to pay the parking. Well, what happened? He was stealing the money. He was stealing the church's money. What did the church do? The church forgave. They did not take him to court. Yes? What did he do? He left. Took his family. Right? That was his right to do. He was paying the money back quietly, and then he stopped paying. Fast forward, he wants to place membership at another congregation. That congregation called their first congregation and said, is this brother in good standing? No, he's got some issues, he needs to sort out. They told him, you go back over there and sort that thing out. He came into church one Sunday. They had arranged he was going to act during the invitation. He was going to stand up before the church and repent of that sin. He never repented of it. Yeah? He came that Sunday. The brothers knew. He stood up. He said something, but it wasn't repentance. That second congregation called, had elders and said, you know, I don't know how you all did it, because we would have taken that brother to court. Does the church, second congregation, do they put him in charge of the money again? It's not to say we have to forgive him, but wisdom says you don't put him, because you sometimes can cause that person to stumble. I'm not going to put you in that ministry or in that work to be a temptation for you. Does that make sense? So, the Bible has knows nothing about probation. But however, if he takes on a role, you as the leader, we have a responsibility to oversee him. I have a responsibility to check and say, to make sure, is everything okay? You have any concerns? Because I'm concerned about your soul. You see? So we have to look at the whole thing, because we're human. If I have a problem with alcohol, I'm not going to go work in the pub. That makes sense? So we have to help each other out in that same arena. Don't put that brother in that same ministry. Maybe he needs to work under somebody. Well, then I'll put two or three witnesses. You see, that's scriptural. And he's got a problem there. He's got to take that up with the Lord. So you have a right to come to me and say, Brother Smith, can we see the books? I'm the church treasurer here. You can come to me and say, Brother Smith, what's going on with the money? Here it is. Lay it up. Two or three minutes. At the meeting, whatever. So scrutinize. Think why? Because I don't want you to stumble, and you shouldn't want me to stumble. That makes sense. You see? Last question we got for this week. Yes.
You know, we've been instructed.
Yes.
As the master,
yes.
Is it okay for us to punish someone to teach him a lesson or refusing to punish someone like that, just like the master?
No. The book of Romans says, vengeance is mine. Who's speaking? God is the true judge. So I would rather suffer loss and do what the Bible says rather than take it to the extreme and you stand guilty and I'm standing right next to you on judgment. That makes sense? No. So he had a right, because guess what? The master, who's the master in that parable? That's God himself. So, yes.
I'm saying it's in a visual manner.
Yes.
Yeah. In this context.
Yes.
Yeah, we know the master in this context as well. But if it was
at stage two, so to speak.
Yes.
Because now, guess what? You haven't learned your lesson. You see, you have done the Christian thing. This is a criminal offense. You have a right to, you know, if somebody steals your house or whatever, you have a right to do that. Like, if it's a brother, we should try to work it out. Okay, you're not paying attention to this, and I need someone to leave. You take away my life, people. You see? So that's not to say you can't use the court system. We have redress. That's what, remember Romans says that the rulers, magistrates, kings are not to terrorize us, but they are God's instruments. You see? Because we have to obey the laws of the land as well. Make sense? If you, as a Christian, speed, you can't just say, Lord, praise God, and he's just going to forgive you. You're going to have to stand before that magistrate and give an account. You see? So we are bound by God's law and also by the laws of the land. But that forgiveness is a personal thing. But that forgiveness that we'll study the next time we get together can also keep us out of heaven. It's a salvation issue, eventually. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Let's pray.